Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
I get the opportunity to speak today, and we are in the Heroes series. Have you enjoyed the Heroes series so far? Yeah, me too. I've actually loved it. So today I get to continue, and the title of today's message is called The Power of the Testimony. Amen. The Power of the Testimony. Father, we invite you to speak. We invite you to minister to our hearts. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice, obey your voice, obey your word. We want to be transformed today because of being in your presence, in your house, with you and your people. Would you do that for us, sir? We ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in October, the last week of October 2019, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Julie, for the month of November, I want you to every day write down one testimony. 30 days in November, that means by the end of November, 30 testimonies. I said, okay, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. So I got my journal out and I started writing. At the end of that 30 days, it was so radically transforming to me that I kept going into the month of December. By the end of December, on December 29th of 2019, I actually preached the first time I've ever preached on testimony. I preached that Sunday morning. I called it Testimony Journal. If you were here, I encourage you to hop on Amazon and get a journal delivered to your doorstep or swing by TJ Maxx on your way home. But to start journaling testimonies. It has radically changed my life. What I thought started as a one-month journey has become a lifestyle for me. You know, I call the Lord, sometimes I call him Jehovah Sneaky, because he gets us to do things like he'll tell us just a little bit so that we'll say yes. And that's what it was for me. He was like, Julie, just do this for 1 month. And I said, okay, I can do this. Who can't do something for a month, right? But he knew that I'd get hooked. I would see the transformation that has taken place in my mind, my actual mind, my brain, and my life, the atmosphere, because of the power of testimony. So that's what we're going to talk about today in our time together. So, question for you. How many of you, raise your hand if you've ever had a prayer answered? Seen a miracle, healing, provision, God move, God come through. That's pretty much every person in this place. That's right. Two hands, a leg. I mean, your whole self in, right? You know, it's like, we've all seen God move, right? Well, do you realize that we are a people who are called to testify about what God's done in our lives? If he's moved in our lives, if he's answered prayer, if there's been breakthrough, if there's been healings, if there's been restoration, if he's come through for you, we are a people, his people, who he's called to talk about it, to tell about it. This is what the Bible says. Psalm 9:1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. The NLT says, I'll tell of all the marvelous things you've done. Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds. Make known his deeds to the peoples. Make them known. The peoples need to hear the great things our God has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Psalm 77, I'll remember the works of the Lord. We could just stop right there. Do you see that word, remember? I will remember the works of the Lord. That's why testimony journals are so powerful, because you can go back week after month after year, and you can go through when you're struggling to believe for something you need done in your life, an answer that needs to happen, a breakthrough that you're crying out for. You go back to the testimony journals and you remember the works of the Lord. He came through for me here and here and here and here and here and here. And he's a God who cannot lie. He's a man of his word. So if he did it before, why would I think he wouldn't do it again? I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. Psalm 71:15, my mouth will tell. We need to use this mouth for good. Too many times, good does not come out. This is what we need to use our mouths for. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. There aren't enough testimonies. There aren't enough journals in the world. You can buy out TJ Maxx. You can buy out Amazon, all the journals that they've got in the storehouse. There are so many testimonies, you can't even fill them all. There's more than enough to fill them, and then there's leftover. It's like the loaves and the fishes. Their number is past my knowledge. I love it. So this word testimony, in the Hebrew text, the root word which we translate as testimony means repeat, return, do again. So every time you and I testify, we're saying, do that same thing one more time. Repeat that, Lord. Do it again, Jesus. Do you understand? Testify means do it again. So every time we're testifying, we're prophesying, do it again. When we testify, we're saying, prophesying, Jesus, do this again. Revelation 19:10 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the testimony of Jesus, of who he is, of what he's done, of how he's moving, of how he's working, the marvelous things he's done, we're saying, prophesying, do that same thing again, Lord. Do it again. We're prophesying it. It means testimonies aren't just encouraging stories, although they are. They're not just inspiring stories, although they are. They're more than encouraging, inspiring stories. Every time you hear a testimony, the Lord is prophesying your own breakthrough. Every time you testify of the greatness, the goodness, the amazing power and love of Jesus, you are prophesying to somebody else that they can maybe grab hold of it and take it for themselves. Say, yes, Lord, you did it for her, you'll do it for me. When you hear that, when you hear a testimony of another person, it doesn't have to just be their story. You can have that same story as well. Charles Spurgeon said, what he has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. Do you know that's the heart of God? Do you know that's the heart of your Father? To do it once, he intends to do it again. You know, there's a demonic attack. There's a spirit of this age that's rampant in our culture to discredit God. To say, he really isn't good. He's really quite cruel. How could he do that? How could he not come through in this way? Why didn't this happen? Why did he allow that to happen? You know, he gets a lot of blame for things that he doesn't have anything to do with. And you and I, as his children, are called to be his mouthpiece, his ambassadors. And we are called to talk and to share and to tell and to declare and to testify and to scream if you need to. To tell of the goodness and the greatness and the power and the love and the amazingness of our Father. That's our responsibility, friends. So, culture. Each family has a culture. The Gowans family, we have a culture. There are things about us that are unique to us. Things that we value. Things that we hold in high esteem. One of the things is the power of words. You've heard my story, you've heard it. He apprehended my mouth and he apprehended my heart. And because of it, there's a culture in our home, in our life, and it's been there that we watch, we guard our mouth. We know there are certain things you don't say. It's like, oh, take that, I nullify my words. I don't mean that, I nullify my words, Jesus. And that's part of the culture of our family. Part of the culture of this family, because this family that we call home, Bethel, this family has a culture as well. Right. One of the things, one aspect of this culture is testimony. Right. If you didn't know that, then there's more you're going to learn about our family today. A value that we have here is testimony. Yeah. Talking about, sharing about, declaring God's amazingness. So what you'll see is oftentimes in a Sunday service, you'll see a video, a testimony video on the screen played. Oftentimes you'll hear at the end of service, whoever's doing Connect Time, share verbally a testimony to everyone. One of the things most of you don't know, unless you're on staff or on our extended leadership team, is that we start every single one of our staff meetings, of our leader meetings, with testimonies. There's not a time that doesn't happen. We sit down together, it's time to start the meeting, we're like, let's testify. Yeah. Who's got testimonies? Yeah. Who's got testimonies? And we go around, yeah, all back and forth. There have been times when an hour meeting, 30 minutes of that meeting, half of that meeting is testifying of the greatness of God. And you might think, that's not very productive. Actually, it's the most productive thing we could do, my friends. You can go to places, businesses, cultures all over the place, and if there is not this spirit of testifying of the greatness and the goodness and the power and the love of God that stirs people's faith, that magnifies Jesus, it's bragging about him, my friends. That's the culture he's called us to live in. It's the culture he's called us to cultivate in our own souls, in our own minds, in our families, in whatever workplace you're in. You be the ambassador there that creates the culture that snuffs out the negativity and the critical spirit and the criticism. You be the ambassador that brings in this culture of testimony, declaring the power and the love of Jesus. We have that much power. Do we use it? Do we tap into it? Here at Bethel, we do. It's a value, a core value here. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to live, okay? If you want to have fun in life, start talking about Jesus. Start bragging about him. Start meditating and marinating on the amazing things he's done. It'll absolutely transform you. It's a fun way to live. So in this hero series, each week we've talked about a biblical hero as well as a quote-unquote modern-day hero, which we mean in the last 200 years. Today, I actually am going to talk about two biblical heroes because one just wasn't enough. It was just too much fun as I was studying. I'm like, I just have to share two. There was a third one, but I was like, okay, I got to put the stop on it. So we're just going to do two. But the first person I want to talk about, she's a gal who had this outrageous encounter with Jesus. And she couldn't keep quiet about it. It was so riveting, so outrageous. She had to tell people. It's found in John chapter 4. I'll paraphrase some of the story and then I'll read some of the passage. She was the Samaritan woman. And she had a colorful past. So she would come to the well to draw water during the noontime hour when it was warm and hot, because most people weren't there at that time of day. Because of her life, because of the sin, because of probably the judgment that she received, she didn't want to be around people. She wanted to avoid people. So she chose to go at a later hour than most people did, so she could just avoid any interaction. But lo and behold, she meets Jesus there. He's there that day. And they talk, and they have an exchange. And Jesus is Jesus, wonderful Jesus. And in the conversation, he's asking questions, and he says to her, "So tell me about your husband." I'm paraphrasing. And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "I know. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now isn't your husband." Like, she's stunned. She's like, "Who is this man? Who is this man that knows my life? That knows my story, my past, my history?" And she's really riveted. So this is what happens. We're going to pick up in John 4, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. So she's having this encounter with Jesus. She's realizing, this is not an ordinary man. I'm sure he's loving her well. She probably hasn't felt that kind of acceptance in a really long time, even though she's looking for it in all the wrong places. And yet here's this man who doesn't judge her, who loves her, and she's blown away. So she leaves her water pot. She's like, I'm undone. You've completely read my mail. I'm undone. She leaves her water pot and makes her way into the city, and she says to the men, come here, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Come here. Come with me. You got to see this guy. You've got to meet him. Could this be the Christ? And what happens? She's persuasive. When you encounter Jesus in an amazing way, in a life-transforming way, we need to be persuasive. We should be persuasive. It's like, you have got to meet this Jesus. He's outrageous. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's healed me in ways that I never thought I'd be healed. And yet he came in and he reached down and he healed my soul. I never thought I'd be healed, but he healed me. You've got to come and meet this Jesus. And that's what she did. And so what did they do? I mean, when somebody's that persuasive, you kind of go along with it. They went out of the city and they came to him, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Because one woman with quite a past had an outrageous encounter with Jesus, went back and shared it. All of these people came and believed in the Messiah. That's incredible. The power of testifying. The power of sharing your testimony. Next story. Next person. This is found in Mark chapter 5. This is not going to be on the screen, but I've got it right here in the Word of God. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. This is Jesus and his disciples. Then they came to the other side of the sea, When he come out of the boat, Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, a man with the devil, who had been dwelling among the tombs. This man had been dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. I want to stop here because this is prevalent in our day as well. So many people cut themselves. They did back in the Bible. It's not a new thing. The devil has no new tricks. What tormented this demoniac in Mark chapter 5 torments people today. But we're going to see, and I want you to know if that's a struggle that you have today, we're going to see what Jesus can do about that. Verse 6, so when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." This is a demon talking. And Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged Jesus, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. Do you know what I see here from that? He had at least 2,000 devils. Is anything too powerful? Is anything too strong? Is anything too hard for our Lord, for our King, for our Jesus? If you're sitting here today with 2,000 devils, you are not too far gone. If Jesus did it then, he'll do it today. I'm talking to somebody today, and I'm going to tell you this right now. If that's you, at the end of this service, you better run down to this altar today and get some prayer and some healing and some deliverance, because this is the same God of the Bible is here in this place today to set you free. I don't care how long you've been living with it. I don't care how long you've been struggling with things. I don't care how many things you think you have. You might think you have 5,000 devils. I don't care. Neither does Jesus, because one word from Jesus, "Get out." That's all it takes, my friends. Today is your day of healing and deliverance if you move. So he says, "What's your name?" Okay, so 2,000. Where am I? Here we go. So the unclean spirits went out, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine, get this, this is the first thing. So those who fed the swine, they told it in the city and in the country. They saw this. They're like, okay, those were our swine. We fed them. What just happened? They're going around in the city and in the country, and they're telling people, they're testifying of what just happened, what this Jesus just did. We keep going. Then they came to Jesus, verse 15, and saw the one, this is outrageous. Then they came to Jesus, these people, okay, right? So I'm backing up here. So the ones who fed the swine, they ran, they told people in the city and the country, and then people came to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They didn't know what in the world to think of this. They're like, we know this guy. He's the one who's been in the tombs, roaming, wandering, meandering, screaming, yelling. We've tried to bind him up, and he breaks through the chains. He's cutting himself. He's out of his mind. He's insane. We know this guy, and now he's sitting here, and he's clothed in his right mind. What has just happened? When you know somebody before, and they encounter the living God, and you see them after, that's what they're experiencing right here. Couple more verses. Verse 18. So then Jesus got into the boat, and the man who'd been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. Hear this, my friends. He did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." So he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Jesus said, "Go talk about it. Go tell about it. You once were blind, but now you see. You once were bound, but now you're free. Go tell about it. Go talk about it. I know you want to be with me, but there are people that need to hear what can happen if they say yes, if they believe. Go talk about it." When we testify about what God has done, people hear of his goodness, and it releases faith in them to believe that if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. I'm going to say that again because I need you to hear it again. When we testify of the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the way he's come in and swooped in and rescued and healed and delivered, when that happens and we testify about all that, it releases faith in other people to believe if he did it for you, he could do it for them. That's what's true. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Just hearing the testimonies of who he is and how he's moved in other people's lives stirs faith for us to believe. And we have to have faith in order to believe. But we must believe. We've got to believe who this God of the Bible is. We have to believe it. But we have to have faith. So we've got to hear what's true so that we can have faith to believe. But somebody's got to say something for people to hear. Somebody's got to open their mouth. Somebody's got to talk about Jesus. Somebody's got to do it. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth I perceive." This is fantastic. Memorize this verse. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. That's the King James Version. The New King James says God shows no partiality. God doesn't have favorites. It's not like, oh, well, this gal over here, you know, she's lived a fairly, really good life, pretty clean. You know, God will probably answer her prayers. But, you know, sorry for the guy over here who just hasn't quite measured up. No. That is not our God. Like I mentioned earlier, there's this spirit. And we say yes to believing these insane lies that do not represent Jesus at all. Our filters need to be clean, my friends. And even the best of us, let me just tell you, the best of us need to clean the filter every now and again. Because life just happens. Hard things happen. Little things kind of squeeze their way in to our minds. And we've got to wash this mind of ours to believe, actually, God, I don't. That's not really you at all. That's not who you are. I'm going to take that lie. I'm going to grab that lie by its neck. I'm going to throw it in the name of Jesus, because I refuse to think of my Savior, my King, in any way that is not accurate with the Word of God. He's not a respecter of persons. He does not show partiality. He does not show favoritism. If he did it for this person, he'll do it for this person, and he'll do it for this person. And if he did this thing for this person, he'll do the same thing for this one and this one and this one. It doesn't matter how you've lived. It doesn't matter how colorful or horrific your past has been. It doesn't matter at all. It's fantastic news. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. We are all equal at the foot of the cross, my friends. Whether you've committed 5,000 sins or 5 million sins, it doesn't matter to him. If he's done it for one person, he'll do it for another. He's not a respecter of persons. And that's really good news for me and you. So this hero series was birthed because I had been reading this book and studying about modern day heroes. And amazing people I'm studying and reading about. And then I stumbled upon this gal. And she's the guy we're going to talk about today. Her name is Carrie Judd Montgomery. She's not a widely known healing evangelist at all. I had never heard of her before reading about her and studying. And so I was so moved by what I read about her that I kind of went a little crazy. And I mean, I'm a very passionate person. And so when I take hold of something, I take hold of something. And I'm telling every person that I was talking to as I was reading about Carrie Judd Montgomery, I'm talking about her. I'm telling about this. I talked to our staff about it. One Sunday night after dinner, I'm like, okay, we're having dinner. And then we're going to talk. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to teach you about Carrie Judd Montgomery because I want you all to know about her. She's amazing. And so this is how the idea of this series was just birthed, you know, from this. So I want to talk to you about her today because is God a respecter of persons? No, he's not. If he'll do it for her, he'll do it for us. The way he's used Carrie Judd Montgomery, even though you may have never heard of her until today. If he's used her, he wants to use us in the same exact way. And the key thing, she was an amazing woman of God. She became a preacher, powerful preacher, powerful healing evangelist, a writer. I mean, God used her in amazing ways. But the thing most amazing of all the amazing is that she understood the power of the testimony. She understood that principle, and she lived it out. And the effects, as you will see, are incredible. So, this powerful woman of God was born in 1858 in Buffalo, New York. At 17 years old, she fell on hard, icy ground and injured herself. Those injuries turned into a disease called hyperesthesia, which later developed into tuberculosis of the blood and tuberculosis of the spine. It's not looking good, my friends. Then she lived in chronic pain. She was bedridden for almost 2 years. She became so sick that her mother called all her friends and she said, you need to come and say your last goodbyes to Carrie because it doesn't look like she's going to make it. Shortly after that one day, her father, remember this is the mid to late 1800s, he's reading the newspaper. In the newspaper is a testimony, a healing testimony, of a woman by the name of Sarah Mix. And her dad reads this testimony and is moved, shares it with the family. They immediately craft a letter to Sarah Mix, asking for prayer, asking Sarah to pray, please pray for our daughter, Carrie. Well, Sarah Mix, the little I read and studied about her, she's unbelievable and outrageous herself. So many great people of the faith. Let me just encourage you all, study people of faith. Let this series stir up a hunger in you. There are so many amazing people of God that God has used in the earth. Read about them, learn about them, be inspired by them. It is inspiring. So anyway, Sarah Mix gets this letter. And she writes back. So she writes this letter back, a very detailed, specific letter to Carrie. And she says, Carrie, this is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to tell you. Here we go. And she's like, God is the God of the Bible. He is who he says he is. He is the great physician. He's the one and only true God. And if you have need of a healing, he will heal you. There's no doubt and unbelief. So Carrie, if you've got any doubt and unbelief, then you need to get it out, repent of it, and get it out, because it is not of God. And doubt and unbelief will get in the way of you believing like you need to believe the truth of this word. And so she's writing, believe, 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 stir your faith to believe. Get in this word and look up the healing scriptures and meditate on them and meditate on them and declare them over yourself. Refuse all doubt and unbelief. And then she went as far as to say, she goes, and you know what else? She said, lay your medicines and your tonics aside. Just lay them aside, Carrie. And on this certain Wednesday of such and such a day, she says, I'm going to be praying for you, me and my prayer team. Me and my war team. And if you haven't signed up for our war room, my friends, text today and get a slot for this powerful room that we, Bethel, us, we are changing the city from a small 12 by 12 or whatever it is room right here, okay? So get your spot and be a part of the move of God that's happening in this city. That was an aside. So I got distracted with war room. So Sarah Mix and her war room friends, she says, all right, so at 3 o'clock on this certain Wednesday, we're going to be praying for you from 3 to 4. So this is what I want you to do, Carrie. Until then, from now until then, like I said, build your faith, believe, get in the word, all this stuff. And she said, on this day at 3 o'clock, what I want you to do is I want you to pray the prayer of faith found in James 5. And by faith, I want you to, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what pain is in your body, regardless of any of that, I want you to, by faith, get out of your bed and walk by faith. And do you know what Carrie Jud Montgomery did? She did exactly what Sarah Mix wrote and told her to do. Line by line by line, she did it all. And so on that Wednesday at 3 o'clock, she prayed the prayer of faith. She got out of the bed by faith. She walked. And my friends, Carrie Jud Montgomery was healed. You can imagine the news spread. All through it, it got in their local newspaper, but it just didn't even stay locally. It spread as far as England. This is outrageous. This is the late 1800s. It spread to England. A couple years later, at the age of 22, she writes a book. It's her testimony. It's her healing testimony. It was published in 1880, and it's called, I don't know if it's still, I should have looked it up, see if it's still even available. The Prayer of Faith, that's what it's called. Her testimony, this book of her testimony, was translated into several languages as well. It did not just remain here in the United States. It went to several other countries. And I want to, before I keep telling you about her, I want to tell you this. This is the mid to late 1800s. She's a woman, and she's talking about healing. At that time, the prevalent view in the church was not healing. The prevalent view in the church at that time was that it was good to suffer illness as unto the Lord. So you're sick, you're ill, just be a good sufferer. Just suffer good for the Lord. He'll be glorified if you're a good sufferer. It was not taught. It was not common to teach on healing. And so here she is in the 1800s, a woman talking about healing. This is not like, you know, what you normally would hear from. But she does it anyway. So at 22, she writes her book, translated into multiple languages. And this is what happens. It goes all over. Multiple countries around the world. And you know what happens? People are reading her testimony, and they're getting healed. Thousands, thousands, say that with me, thousands. Thousands of people all over the world are being healed in their body because they're reading Carrie Jud Montgomery's testimony. Carrie is not at this point traveling. She's not ministering. She's not laying hands on people. She's not having altar calls where people are coming forward. She doesn't have the anointing oil where she's putting anointing oil on people. None of that, my friends. People are reading her testimony and they're getting healed. Can God do anything? Is anything impossible for him? So after this, she writes, she steps out in faith again at the age of 23, and she writes, creates and writes a periodical, a healing periodical that goes around the globe. It actually outlived her. And it was a vehicle that was used to spread healing testimonies and revivals around the world. A few years later, she opened a room in her home so that people could come and receive healing for what their sicknesses. A few years after that, she moved to the West Coast, opened the first healing room, healing home on the West Coast. She preceded John G. Lake and his healing rooms by 20 years. She was a forerunner. Wow. A forerunner. Yes. For the healing movement. And she understood the power of testimony. All of this, my friends, happened before she was 25. Wow. Healed, the book, the periodicals. Wow. If you are young, a young person here today, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter what the culture tells you or people tell you or your professors tell you. This God of the Bible wants to use you at the age of 17. He wants to use you at the age of 22. Now, all of us who are older, he still wants to use us too. But when you're younger, you have a hard time believing it, I think. If he can use her, he wants to use you. The power of the testimony is in the fact that a story about God carries the presence of God. And we have to tell the stories of God, the testimonies of God. We're called to bring heaven to earth, aren't we? Yes, we are. And so when we testify of God, of his greatness, of his power, of who he is and what he's done, we are bringing heaven into the atmosphere on earth. And that's what we're called to do. And that is why we must steward our testimonies well. I'm going to close with this story. So Mike's been gone. It'll be 3 weeks when he gets home. And it's kind of been a crazy almost 3 weeks. There's been lots of attacks that aren't normal in a small period of time. You know, all three of my children got sick, one after the other. Two of our cars broke down. That's never ideal, especially in even the summer, right? Three water issues at my house. It's just like multiple things. Multiple things have happened, multiple attacks. And so last Saturday afternoon, I was kind of feeling a little irritated and I was kind of feeling a little bit weary. And I could sense that there was this dark cloud right here and it was just ready and waiting and wanting to attach itself to me. And, you know, I prayed through some of it, but just kind of lingering. I could just sense it right there. So the kids and I had dinner. I finished doing the dinner dishes, and I went to my prayer rocking chair. And I sat down, and I got out my testimony journal. And I opened it up, and I got my phone, and I opened the calendar. And I started, and I went back for a few weeks, and I started looking at each day of each week, and I started asking the Holy Spirit, I said, what'd you do today? Remind me. Help me remember, how did you come through on this day, Lord? What answered prayer happened here? What miracle took place on this day? And here I am, just speaking. I'm asking, he's speaking, I'm writing. 1 hour later, I was so moved. I was so stirred. I was so spurred. I felt like I was going to pop out of that chair. As I meditated for an hour and wrote down, and as I wrote, I was thanking him out loud. 1 hour later, I felt like Superwoman. I'm like, God, you can do anything. You can do anything, Lord. You're amazing. It doesn't matter what attacks have come against me, what problems still aren't fixed, what things I still have to face. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are the God of all gods, the eternal God, the one true God, the outrageously amazing God who performs miracles and has done it for thousands of generations and will continue to do it. You're the God of the breakthrough. You're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. You always come through. You're faithful forever. You're faithful to your word. And I'm yours, and you are mine, and I love you with every fiber of my being, Jesus. And that little cloud of discouragement that wanted to leech onto me, it was obliterated. It was obliterated. Because I sat with Jesus and meditated on his goodness and then wrote it down. And then thanked him for it. He's no respecter of persons, remember. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. So I've got, like I when I started this morning, like I said, this is 2019. This is November and December of 2019. There are 61, one for each day. There are 61 testimonies in this journal. 2020. Do you know that God actually moved in 2020? In the middle of a pandemic, believe it or not, God's that powerful that he can move and answer prayers and give breakthroughs in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a lockdown, in the middle of craziness in our nation. I've got 100 testimonies in 2020 in this journal. 100, my friends. And here we are, 2021. We're almost 6 months into it, and I've got 47 testimonies of the goodness, the faithfulness, the healing, the revelations of God. Right here. Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we talking about the goodness of God day in and day out? Do you know? If we as a people just stop talking about all the problems and all the things that are wrong and all the negativity and all the criticism, and we just made this one change and every day started talking about the goodness of God, the way he's come through, his great love for us, do you realize how much would change?
Yes.
You want to be a different person? Do it. 100% guarantee he did it for me. He rewired my mind. He rewired my brain. By nature, I am not an optimist by nature. By nature, I'm a pessimist. I know you find it hard to believe, but... or maybe you don't. Maybe not. He's rewired my brain. The bent that used to be all way over to here of being pessimistic or critical or seeing the glass half empty... That bent is slowly moving this way. Because he's transforming my mind. He's transforming my soul as I meditate on his great goodness. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. Do you want to be a changed person? Hey, and maybe you're like, you know, Mr. Positive. Maybe you're like the textbook Mr. Positive, like my husband is. You people still need to meditate and talk about the goodness of God. We all do. We need to create it not just for our own lives, but for the atmosphere, the culture, wherever we are. Jump on the journey. Let God change you. Let Him wow you. Maybe you need to be wowed. Maybe it's because you're thinking about and meditating on all the wrong things. Make a decision to sit with Him and ask Him, show me what you've done this week. Let's be a people who contend for breakthrough, for answered prayers, for healings, for miracles. Let's be a people who contend for reconciliation and restoration, for provision. Let's be a people who contend for revival in this city, in this nation, in this world. Let's be a people who contend. Because you know what happens when we contend? On the other side of it? Testimony. God will come through. Pray with me. Father, I don't know how much more I can say about your greatness. There's no one like you. There is no one like you. You are absolutely outrageously wonderful. Help us become a people who live in and meditate on and marinate in and declare and talk about your great goodness, who you are. Let us be that people. Help us, Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you don't know this amazing God of the Bible, then I just want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life and begin your journey. The greatest testimony all of us have is that we surrendered to Jesus and that He wiped away all of our sin and unrighteousness and filth and selfishness and cleansed us and caused us to be reconciled to the Father. So if today you want to meet this Jesus and make it your greatest testimony, pray this with me. Father, I surrender all to you today. I go all in. I give my life to you, everything I am, everything I have, I give it to you fully, wholly, I give it all. It's the only way I want to live, Jesus, is you as my Savior and as my Lord, directing my life, leading my life, being the King of my life. So today I say yes to you. Forgive me, cleanse me, teach me, and let me be a person that testifies of your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.